chapter 2, 46 to 54. That's where we are this morning. In my last session, I did an introduction to the seven signs of Jesus. The seven signs of Jesus. There were seven signs or seven miracles that Jesus performed that John, the beloved, the man that took care of Mary, Jesus' mother, after Jesus died on the cross, Jesus said, "Son, behold your mother," and John took care of Mary. And John wrote 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the book of Revelation, and the Gospel of John. And in the Gospel of John, John tells us that there were seven particular signs that Jesus did that showed forth to everyone who he is, who he was, and who he is to come, in a way, if you like. But those seven signs were not the only signs that Jesus did. John said he did many more signs amongst his disciples and publicly than these ones. But these ones are written just for you so that you can believe. These seven are just given to you as evidence of who Jesus is. But John says that if all of the works that Jesus did was written down, I suppose, he said, there wouldn't be enough books in all the world to contain all the wonderful things that Jesus did. Now, Jesus was at the wedding at Cana, where he produced his first miracle, where his mother nudged him and said, "Listen, they've run out of wine. They have no more wine." And Jesus says, "My lady, what is this to do with me? Why do you involve me? And my time has not come yet. I don't want to be revealed." And she looked at him and said, "Do something." And she said to the servants, you know, because she was an officiator at the wedding, she said to the servants, "Whatever he tells you to do, just do it." And remember, I said that's a word for us. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, just do it. So Jesus turned seven pots of water into wine, 115 liters of wine approximately. Imagine if there was a liter bottle for every liter of wine, then Jesus would have produced 115 liters of wine. Can you imagine that happening at your wedding? The best wine ever just appears, 115 liters. Now, Jesus was physically present in that room, but the miracle we're going to look at today is even more miraculous because Jesus was not even present when the miracle happened. Jesus was miles and miles away. Jesus doesn't have to be present in the room with you in order to give you a miracle or to produce a miracle. He only has to speak the word and the miracle will happen. How many of you believe that? Amen. So, this miracle that we're going to look at this morning was a miracle that Jesus sent on ahead of him. And you'll understand what I'm talking about when we read the passage. Amen. So, but before we do that, let's look at a scripture in Hebrews, a very famous scripture that speaks about faith, because this miracle today talks to us about faith. And in many believe that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and this is what Paul said in Hebrews 11:6. He said, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Who's him? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is God and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently, who faithfully, who relentlessly seek him. Are you seeking him diligently? Are you seeking him faithfully? Are you seeking him repetitively? Are you seeking him persistently? Are you seeking him consistently? He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Let me just see the hands of those who sought after the Lord with all their faith, diligently, and received a reward from the Lord. Amen. Hebrews 1-3 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." For faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So when you're having faith, you just have to hope for something and you just have to believe for something that you're not quite yet seeing. But he goes on to say, "For by the elders," or "for by this," or "for by it," faith, "the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." Can you imagine that? The sun, the moon, the sky, the stars were not made by things which were seen, but were made by things which are invisible. God spoke the word, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. The architect said, let me build the Empire State Building. He said it. He visualized it on paper and then he brought it into reality. Everything in this room, everything that you own, everything around here began with a thought, because all things start in the mind. If you can conceive it, you can believe it. And if you can conceive it and believe it, you can bring it into fruition. Amen? Before you have a child, most people sit down and imagine, I'd like to have a child. Sometimes children come, they're not planned, but most of the time people sit there and they plan, I'd like to have a child, I'd like to have a family. They conceive it, and then they get to work and bring it into being. So all things which are made were made by things which are unseen, things which are not visible. So if we want to believe God for something, we have to understand that, and we need to work with those principles. And let's bear that in mind as we look at this passage. So the scripture tells us in Hebrews 11, there's a whole chapter of people, names of individuals in there. It's called the Hall of Faith, not the Hall of Fame, but the Hall of Faith. And you see many, many characters in there that did great things because they believed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so we're going to turn to the scripture, which is John chapter 2, verses 46 to 54. And because I like the sound of her voice, I've asked Lorna to come and read this for me. I'm smooth, aren't I?
Yeah. I fell for it nearly 40 years ago, and I'm still falling for it now, eh? I don't know. Some of us never learn, do we? All right, the heading is Jesus Heals a Nobleman's Son. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea and into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. The nobleman said to him, sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word of Jesus to him, and he went his way. Now as he was now going down, his servant met him, and told him, saying, your son lives. Then he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same time that Jesus had said to him, your son lives. And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee.
Thank you, Lana. Okay. Okay. So as you know, Jesus, when he was leaving and he told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, and he informed them that they should start in Jerusalem and then go out into Judea and then out into the uttermost parts of the world. So we know that that's Jesus' formula for evangelism, that each and every single one of us should start evangelizing, start sharing our faith right where we are, right where we live, in our own town, amongst our own family, amongst our own work colleagues. That's the first place that we start in terms of sharing our faith. And Jesus was no different. He started to do ministry in his own town and around his own area. And so we read here that he went back into this area of Cana, and they came to him, a nobleman, somebody of the royal household. This is probably somebody from Herod's interior, his personal association, maybe a family member or a soldier or an officer within his household. Along comes this nobleman and seeks Jesus. He's looking for help, he's looking for support. And we understand here that this man has a son who is ill, and this son is even ill unto death. Now, this is typical of what happens. We all know people who may not come to church every week, that may not confess Jesus, but if they have a crisis in their life, they will seek you out, they will seek me out, because they know that we are believers and that we pray. Has anyone had a family or a friend or a relative or a colleague? Somebody's sick, somebody's going through real problems, and they call on you or they call on your family because they know that you're believers, and they just believe that prayer can work. And as praying people, if we pray, something is going to happen. Amen? And so this nobleman comes to Jesus because he believes that Jesus can do something to help them. He may not have been a believer. He may not have been a disciple. He may not have been a man of great faith. But at this point, his need is so great. He's so desperate that he decides he's got to seek Jesus out. And where he lives in Capernaum is about, they say, about 25 miles from where Jesus is in Cana. And for that, they say it will take you about 2 or 3 days to walk. And if you rode a horse, it might take you best part of a day to get there. So this guy goes to great effort to seek out Jesus. Now, what I want you to remember is that despite what people believe or don't believe, there are people out there who will go to great effort to seek Jesus, and they can only reach Jesus through a point of contact, and you might be that point of contact. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, you are the point of contact. Do me a favor, tell them. You are the point of contact. You might be the person that they need to go to in order to get to Jesus. So we must always be ready, because there will be people who don't believe. There will be people who never listen to your testimony, who will come and seek you when they have a need and when their need is big enough. Amen? And so he decides to seek out Jesus and to come to him. Amen? Great need. Great need. So when he heard, verse 47 says, when he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea and into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Have you noticed that when people are desperate, they're desperate? He's come down, he's begging Jesus, he's badgering Jesus, he's pleading with Jesus, he's insisting, Jesus, drop everything and come and attend to my need. People can be like that. When their need is big enough, they want you to drop everything and come and see to their need, because what could be more important than your son dying, and yet you want the son to live? Hear how Jesus responds to him. Listen to the words. Then Jesus said to him, unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe. This man is a type, he's a picture of the world. And it's true to say that unless the world, unless your friends and family see signs and wonders, they will not believe. They won't believe your word. They won't believe my word. They won't believe the preaching. They won't believe the guy speaking on the video. But when they have a need, if they see a sign and a wonder, all of a sudden, they believe. There are many people that have been watching the Middle East this week, and they see what's going on in the world, and they're thinking, wasn't that all prophesied in the Bible? They're seeing a sign, and they're seeing a wonder, and now they're believing that something is happening in accordance with what Jesus spoke. Because the Bible told us there'll be famines, there'll be wars, there'll be rumors of wars, there'll be pestilence, there'll be plagues, there'll be nation rising up against nation. As soon as you think the war is in Europe, then all of a sudden the war is in the Middle East. And then you think the war is in the Middle East, and you turn around and the war is in Africa. There's rumors and rumors of wars everywhere. The Bible says that these things will be signs and wonders for people, so that they might know that Jesus is coming back again soon. Read the signs. And so Jesus, there's two ways you could take what Jesus says. In one way, you could take it like, sure man, you people, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. You could take it like that. Or you could take it like this. Ah, you people, unless you see signs and wonders, you'll never believe. I tell you what, let me give you a sign and a wonder that will cause you to believe. I don't even need to be present to perform a miracle. But the nobleman was like, Jesus, enough already. Say less. You need to do something. You need to follow me. You need to do, we need to move now. The nobleman said to him in verse 49, Sir, come down before my child dies. There's a matter of urgency here. Let's not talk about this. Just follow me. Just come with me. Inconvenience yourself. I need a miracle and I need it now. Jesus said to him, Go. So the nobleman says, Jesus, come. And Jesus says to him, Go. Sometimes we have to do the absolute opposite of what we want to do in order to see God working in our favor. Jesus says, Go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went his way. Again, this is great faith being demonstrated by this man. First of all, he seeks Jesus out. And he doesn't care what nation, at this point, he doesn't care what nationality Jesus is. He don't care that he's Jewish. He don't care that he's of this new sect. He don't care how well known he is. He just knows that this man produces miracles. I need a miracle. Get me to him. And our friends are like that. When they need God to move in their circumstances, they will just drop all of their beliefs. They will drop all of their traditions. They will forget about their culture, their color, their creed. They're coming for the miracle because they have a need. Amen? And we need to be ready to meet them at the point of their need. Go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke and went his way. And verse 51 says, And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Your son lives! Your son lives! He's alive! He's alive! Then he inquired of them and said to them, When did this happen? When did you see a turn in his circumstances? When was he raised up? What time was it? And they said to him, Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at that same hour in which Jesus said to him, Your son lives. And he himself believed. Not only did he believe, guess what else happened? His whole household believed. Now, you know, our belief in Jesus, our faith in Jesus, your faith in Jesus might be the beginning of your entire household being saved. Amen? I remember my sister went to church with a young man and his mother and their family, and she decided that, you know, I'm going to receive Jesus in a bigger way, and I'm going to start going to church every week. And she didn't stop there. Then my mom started following her to church, then my younger brother followed her to church, then my next brother followed her to church, then my next brother followed her to church, then I followed her to church, then all of our kids started following us to church, and before you know it, a whole clang of people are saved because of one person. And you might, yeah, let's give Jesus a big hand clap. You might be that one person that needs to make a decision for Jesus, and then the whole family follows. You might feel like you're on your own right now. You might feel like it's weird right now. You might feel like it's lonely right now. But if you believe, you could be the first of many. And God wants to use you to reach many. John says in verse 54, he says, This again is the second sign Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. This second sign was so that people could believe. And they did. They did in droves. Now, I've got a few points here I just want to share with you to wrap up. The first one is this. We all have a need that God can help us with. And I want you to identify what is your need right now. What is the thing that you need the most right now? Because we all have a need that Jesus can help us with. And everyone that you know has a need that Jesus can help them with. And all we need to do is find the need. If we can find the need, and they can share that need with us, or we can let them know that Jesus can do something for them in their life. Amen? We all have a need. For this man, it was his son. Regardless of your status, regardless of your position, regardless of your wealth, regardless of all of that, we all have a need that Jesus can help us with. Amen? Number two, our faith also requires action. It's no good just believing and sitting there. We have to do something about it. In this case, the man travels 25 miles to meet Jesus because he knows that Jesus has what he needs. And so he's prepared to get out of his comfort zone. He's prepared to organize himself. He's prepared to pack and prepare and travel. He's prepared to walk towards his need being fulfilled. Never underestimate a person's faith and how far they are prepared to go in order to have their need met. Amen? Number three, our faith in God will always be tested. Always be tested. Sometimes we hear from Jesus what we don't want to hear. Sometimes the people around us will tell us, no, it's too far, 25 miles, just suppose it doesn't work, suppose he can't do it, suppose you're misguided, why do you believe? But you push yourself and you say, no, I'm going the 25 miles because I believe. I'm pushing out because I believe. I'm doing what Jesus said. I'm sticking with the Bible. I'm sticking with the gospel because I believe that Jesus can sort me out in this situation. The answer to our prayer will always require great faith, and our faith will be tested just like this man's faith was tested when Jesus said, you people, unless you see signs and wonders, you will never believe. But knowing that, Jesus gave him signs. Jesus gave him wonders. Amen? The fourth thing is faith and persistence are the key to our breakthrough. Remember the persistent widow? Jesus told a parable about the widow who was persistent, who kept on fighting and asking of the unjust judge for justice. And because she didn't stop, because she was persistent, because she kept on asking, the judge gave her what she needed. Remember the persistent friend who went and knocked his friend at the midnight, knocking his door and asking him for some provisions. And he didn't want to get out of his bed. And he said, I'll just ignore this. I'm in my bed. My family's all in their beds. I'm not getting up. But the guy just kept knocking his door until he got up and gave him what he needed. And Jesus says that we should keep on seeking. We should keep on knocking. We should keep on asking, because he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks the door shall be open. We have to be persistent with our faith if we're going to see God move in our circumstances. We can't just give up. Jesus said what he said to the man, but the man said, enough already, Jesus! Come down now. Come down quick with me. My son needs to be healed, and you have the power to heal him. Come down with me now. The fifth thing is this. True faith is always rewarded. If you believe, you will receive. If you faint not. Each and every one of us, he says to the man, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke, and he went his way. And guess what? It happened to him even as his faith was. Every time we have a challenge of faith, we have three ways that we could go. We could either stand in unbelief, we can have doubt and fear, or we can just have faith and believe. And that's why Jesus, before he produced miracles, always asked the people, what is it that you want me to do for you? He was testing their faith. What is it that you're looking for? What is it that you're seeking for? The disciples said the same thing. What is it that you want from us? I want silver and gold. They said, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, receive better than silver and gold. Rise up and walk. True faith is always rewarding. If we stand on our faith, God will reward our faith, and we'll see miraculous things. The sixth point is this. Our faith often produces witnesses. When we believe and we receive, it's not just for us, but it's for everybody else in our household, everybody else in our community, everybody else in our area to hear, Lorna had cancer, but she's healed in Jesus' name. Amen. And she's running up and down. And she's doing everything she could do before. Why? Because we believed and we prayed and we stood on the word. And although we had to go through some suffering and some pain, Jesus came through in the end, and now she is healed. Somebody rejoice with me. And now that's a witness for all of you. I've got bad news for you. I'm going to die one day. Lorna's going to die one day because that's a portion for all mankind. However, God is going to work in our circumstances time and time again if we believe and if we stand on His word. Amen? Even Lazarus had to die after Jesus resurrected him from the dead. Lazarus still died because that is the way of all flesh. But when we die, we get promoted to eternal glory. So we don't have to fear death. Some people look at me like I'm crazy when I say I'm looking forward to dying. It's not the death bit I'm looking forward to. That's only going to last split seconds. I'm looking forward to what's beyond the death bit. Because I have a hope. Because I have a belief that there's something greater than this that is coming. And if in this life only I had a hope, I would be of all the men in the world, the most miserable, to quote Paul. But because I have a hope, because I have a belief that better than this is coming, I don't need to fear death. I can look at death in the eye and say, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave. Well, where is your victory? Death and grave, you have none. You have none over me. And all those who have passed. My beloved brother Derek has passed before me at the age of 48. It's painful. Me and my brothers were talking about it this week. And it's painful just to think about it. Love that guy. Gone before me. But I know that he's in glory now. I know that he's awaiting me now. When I see Derek again, man, and when me and Derek put on some dancing in the kingdom. When me and Derek put down some dancing in the kingdom and sing about how we got over, it's going to be a wonderful time. Amen? I'll soon come, Derek. Wait on me, man. I'll soon come. Praise the Lord. Not too soon, though. Yes. Amen. Not too soon, says my niece. I've got lots of work to do down here. And I'm trying to preserve this body as long as I can. But I tell you what, when this life is over, I'm going to say goodbye. I'm going to say goodbye, of course. When this life on earth is over, I'm going to say good riddance and goodbye and farewell. Be gone. Amen. Goodbye. I'll stay no longer. Are we going to sing all the songs this morning? She's pushing me into it this morning. Man, I tell you, I'm getting happy already. Praise the Lord. Amen. The seventh and last point is this. Your faith really, really can be contagious. When this man believed, not only did he believe, but all of his household believed and everybody around him got saved. And when the jailer came out of jail and his life was spared, they went home and they baptized not only the jailer, but they baptized all the jailer's family and everybody got saved. And we must believe that when we get saved, our family must get saved. How many believing for your family to get saved? Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you thinking about your husband and your wife and your sister and your brother and your mother? Some of you have been waiting so long for that stubborn husband to be saved. Don't give up. I know so many stubborn husbands. One of them, I won't call his name, but one of them went to Jamaica not too long ago and got baptized. And it was all over the internet. That brother had got baptized after all these years of praying and asking and seeking God. But now the brother got saved. And now we can rejoice because he's got saved. And I tell you what, you will rejoice because your husband will get saved. Your wife will get saved. Your children will get saved. Your friends will get saved. Your work colleagues can get saved if you're praying for them. Are you praying for them regularly? Are you calling out their names to Jesus? They all can get saved. There are 7 points for you to reflect on and think about when you go home and when you listen back to this message. 7 simple points of faith. Jesus doesn't have to be present to produce a miracle. We can call on him and he will answer us. He knows no bound. He knows no distance. He can overcome distance. He can overcome every barrier and every boundary. Let Jesus fix it for you. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.